Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldar and here Masechas Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Zayin, the third parak called Tzlamim. The Zichu Masechas Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom and Zichu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Reish Lakish asked, "Hamishtachav ledeko lavu mahu lemitzvah? If one bows to a palm tree, can its branch be used for the mitzvah of lulav?" The question is where the tree was planted and was only later worshipped, and follows the Rabban's opinion that such a tree remains mutar bahana. Assuming it's disqualified for an offering, mimais klapi gavo or lo, is it repulsive to be used for the Most High, meaning for mitzvos as well or not? Rav Dimi reported that Reish Lakish's question was about an asherah, which was nullified, which was initially prohibited in all benefit, and subsequently became permitted. Do we say yesh dichui eitzel mitzvos? There is rejection regarding mitzvos, meaning it remains disqualified even after becoming permitted in benefit, or not? A mission teaches that a blood of a shechted chaya, or bird, was covered by wind. He must cover it, but only if it later became uncovered. Rav Papa says this proves ein dichui eitzel mitzvos, since the mitzvah was inapplicable while it was covered. The Gemara responds that Reish Lakish's question was whether the Tana is certain that ein dichui eitzel mitzvos, and would say so even leniently or only stringently requires covering of blood because of the possibility that ein dichui eitzel mitzvos. The question remains unresolved. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Mishia beso samach l'avodos kochavim v'nafal. If one's house adjoined a building worshipped for idolatry, and the shared wall fell, asur livnoso, it's forbidden to rebuild it, which would be building a structure for idolatry. Rather, konos betok shalo arba amos. He draws back four amos into his own property and builds the wall there. If half the original wall stood in the idolatrous property, the four amos are calculated from the halfway point. Tanaim argue if the components of the original wall transmit tumah with the rabban, like a sheretz, through contact, or even like a nida, by being carried. The Gemara asks that by withdrawing into his property, he provides benefit to the idolatrous property. Rabbi Chanina of Sura said that he makes the area a basic kisei. The Gemara objects that he must act modestly in a basic kisei, whereas this one is exposed, and answers that it is only for nighttime use. The Gemara persists that modesty is required even at night, and answers that the basic kisei is for children. Alternatively, he fences it in with thorns, which provide privacy but no structural benefit to the idol. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Shosha Batinhen, there are three types of idolatrous houses regarding their nullification laws. Number one, if a house was initially built to be worshipped, the entire house is forbidden and must be nullified. Number two, if he plastered it and decorated with images for idolatry and thereby added to it, no tomashichidesh, he removes what he added and the house is permitted. And number three, if one brought an idol into his house and removed it, the house is permitted. Rav adds that if one bows down to the house, it becomes forbidden even if it was not built for worship, while the Mishnah taught that if it was built for idolatry, it's forbidden without being worshipped. The next Mishnah teaches a parallel list of three types of idolatrous stones. So once again, the three points are, number one, Reish Lakish asked, "Hamishtachav ledeko lulav mahu lemitzvah? If one bows down to a palm tree, can its branch be used for the mitzvah of lulav?" The question is where the tree was planted and was only later worshipped, and follows the Rabban's opinion that such a tree remains mutar bahana. Assuming it's disqualified for an offering, mimais klapi gavo or lo, is it repulsive to be used for the Most High, meaning for mitzvos as well or not? Rav Dimi reported that Reish Lakish's question was about an asherah, which was nullified, which was initially prohibited in all benefit, and subsequently became permitted. Do we say yesh dichui eitzel mitzvos? There is rejection regarding mitzvos, meaning it remains disqualified even after becoming permitted in benefit, or not? A mission teaches that a blood of a shechted chaya, or bird, was covered by wind. He must cover it, but only if it later became uncovered. Rav Papa says this proves ein dichui eitzel mitzvos, since the mitzvah was inapplicable while it was covered. The Gemara responds that Reish Lakish's question was whether the Tana is certain that ein dichui eitzel mitzvos, and would say so even leniently or only stringently requires covering of blood because of the possibility that ein dichui eitzel mitzvos. The question remains unresolved. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Mishia beso samach l'avodos kochavim v'nafal. If one's house adjoined a building worshipped for idolatry, and the shared wall fell, asur livnoso, it's forbidden to rebuild it, which would be building a structure for idolatry. Rather, konos betok shalo arba amos. He draws back four amos into his own property and builds the wall there. If half the original wall stood in the idolatrous property, the four Amors are calculated from the halfway point. Tanaim argue if the components of the original wall transmit Tuma, with the Rabban, like a Sheretz, through contact, or even like a Nida, by being carried. The Gemara asks that by withdrawing into his property, he provides benefit to the idolatrous property. Rabbi Chanina of Sura said that he makes the area a basic kisei. The Gemara objects that he must act modestly in a basic kisei, whereas this one is exposed, and answers that it is only for nighttime use. The Gemara persists that modesty is required even at night, and answers that the basic kisei is for children. Alternatively, he fences it in with thorns, which provide privacy but no structural benefit to the idol. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Shosha Batinhen, there are three types of idolatrous houses regarding their nullification laws. Number one, if a house was initially built to be worshipped, the entire house is forbidden and must be nullified. Number two, if he plastered it and decorated it with images for idolatry and thereby added to it, no tomashichidesh, he removes what he added and the house is permitted. And number three, if one brought an idol into his house and removed it, the house is permitted. Rav adds that if one bows down to the house, it becomes forbidden even if it was not built for worship, while the Mishnah taught that if it was built for idolatry, it's forbidden without being worshipped. The next Mishnah teaches a parallel list of three types of idolatrous stones. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Mem Zayin, and our standard Siman is a maze. A maze, so here goes. At the Chol HaMoed Sukkos maze, the contestants who were supposed to grab a lulav from the worship tree and bring it to a sukkah for the mitzvah were blocked by rubble on one path from a collapsed Avodah Zorah house that shared a wall with the maze, and blocked on another by a wall with plaster and images on it that they removed as they passed it. Once again, slow motion. At the Chol HaMoed Sukkos maze, that must be Daf Mem Zayin. At the Chol HaMoed Sukkos maze, the contestants who were supposed to grab a lulav from the worship tree and bring it to a sukkah for the mitzvah, which reminds us, Reish Lakish asked, "Hamishtocha v'ledeka lulav u'malul mitzvah. If one bows to a palm tree, can its branch be used for the mitzvah of lulav?" The question is where the tree was planted and was only later worshipped, and follows Rabban's opinion that such a tree remains permitted in benefit, assuming it is disqualified for an offering. Mimai's klapi gavo or lo, is it repulsive to be used for the Most High, meaning for mitzvahs as well or not? Rav Dimi reported that Reish Lakish's question was about an asherah, which was nullified, which was initially prohibited in all benefit, and subsequently became permitted. Do we say yesh dichui etzel mitzvos? There is rejection regarding mitzvos, meaning it remains disqualified even after becoming permitted in benefit, or not. So at the Chol HaMoed Sukkos maze, the contestants who were supposed to grab a lulav from the worship tree and bring it to the sukkah for the mitzvah were blocked by rubble on one path from a collapsed Avodah Zorah house that shared a wall with the maze, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishnei Abeso Samach Avodos Kochavim V'Nafal, if one's house adjoined a building worshipped for idolatry, and the shared wall fell, Aser Livnoso, it's forbidden to rebuild it, which would be building a structure for idolatry. Rather, Konas Betok Shalo Arba Amos, he draws back four Amos into his own property and builds the wall there. So at the Chol HaMoed Sukkos maze, the contestants who were supposed to grab a lulav from the worship tree and bring it to a sukkah for the mitzvah were blocked by rubble on one path from a collapsed Avodah Zorah house that shared a wall with the maze, and blocked on another by a wall with plaster and images on it that they removed as they passed it. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shosha Batinhen, there are three types of idolatrous houses regarding nullification laws. Number one, if a house was initially built to be worshipped, the entire house is forbidden and must be nullified. Number two, if he plastered it and decorated it with images for idolatry and thereby added to it, no tel mashechidesh, he removes what he added and the house is permitted. If one brought an idol into his house and removed it, the house is permitted. So once again, at the Chol HaMoed Sukkos maze, the contestants who were supposed to grab a lulav from the worship tree and bring it to a sukkah for the mitzvah were blocked by rubble on one path from a collapsed Avodah Zorah house that shared a wall with the maze, and blocked on another by a wall with plaster and images on it that they removed as they passed it. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Siman Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The popular Avodah Zorah magazine, that must be on Daf Mem Gimel. The popular Avodah Zorah magazine with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Dimimavato, Avodah Zorah, which reminds us, Rav Yeshua ben Levi reported that he was once walking behind Rabbi Elazar Kapar and he found a ring with the figure of a dragon. He met an Akum who was a katan and said nothing, and then met an adult Akum and instructed him to nullify the idol, but he did not. Boazer slapped him, and he nullified it. The Gemara proves three laws of Bittul from this incident. Number one, an Akum may nullify any idol, even someone else's. Number two, only one familiar with the details of idolatry may be bevatel an idol. Therefore, the Katan could not nullify it. Number three, an idolater could nullify an idol even when coerced. Like this, Akum was forced to nullify the found idol. So the popular Avodah Zorah magazine, with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Tima Mavato, Avodah Zorah, featured a story about how a rabbi used a tablet with various images of the moon on it to determine Rosh Chodesh, which reminds us, the Mishnah states when Gamliel had forms of various phases of the moon on a tablet on the wall, and would ask witnesses to the new moon if they saw it like one shape or another. The Gemara asks that making such shapes is forbidden. Losasuniti, you shall not make with me, which teaches you shall not make images of my servants who serve before me. So the popular Avodah Zorah magazine with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Tima Mavato, Avodah Zorah, featured a story about how a rabbi used a tablet with various images on the moon on it to determine Rosh Chodesh, and a back page advertisement from Ephraim's engraving selling signet rings that are chosim, v'loboet, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda owned a signet ring, and Shmuel told him, Shinana, same ene didain, sharp one, blind this one's eyes, meaning destroy the image. A Jew may not even own an image, so how did Rav Gamliel own images of the moon? The Gemara says that the above prohibition only applies to chosam bolet, a protruding signet, mishum chashda, and it's because of suspicion that its owner worships it. A braisa prohibits wearing such a ring, but permits stamping a seal with it because the wax image does not protrude. Daf mem dalet, so the similar daf mem dalet is mud. So here goes. The king who is splattered with mud, that must be on daf mem dalet. The king who is splattered with mud mixed with crushed idols, which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Sochek v'zoi l'ruach or matil yam. One may grind an idol and scatter it to the wind or throw it into the sea. The Chachamim argue that if so, it will become fertilizer, and the pasuk prohibits benefiting from idols in any way. Rabbi Yossi attempts to bring proofs from Moshe crushing the egg wazahav and from Chizkiyahu who ground the nachash ha-nachoshes. So, the king who was splattered with mud mixed with crushed idols went to the bathhouse to wash off his crown and miraculously shaped head, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a background to David HaMelech's crown and how, according to one opinion, it miraculously fit his head and of those who were fitting for Malchus. So the king who was splattered with mud and mixed with crushed idols went to the bathhouse to wash off his crown and miraculously shaped head and explained why he was bathing in a place that houses an idol, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, an idolater challenged Gamliel for bathing in the bathhouse of the idol Aphrodite, and he replied that it's forbidden to answer in a bathhouse. Later he explained, Anigo basi begvula, I did not come into her domain, he ba'a begvuli, she came into my domain. Rabban Gamliel gives other reasons as well. Daf mem hei, so the simmer daf mem hei is manishtana. So here goes. After one son asked, manishtana, manishtana, that must more on daf mem hei. After one son asked, Manishtana, that mountains that are worshipped are not usher, but the gold plating that is on them is prohibited, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if Gentiles worship mountains or hills, hen mutarnu mashaleh nasurin, the mountains and hills are permitted, but adornments on them are prohibited because the pasuk says, Osach mut kesev v'zav alehem, you shall not desire the silver and gold that is on them, implying they themselves are permitted. Rabbi Yossi Gilui Darshan is a different pasuk, Elohim Alaharim, their gods on the mountains, Voharim Elohim, but the mountains themselves are not their gods. So after one son asked Manishtana, the mountains that are worshipped are not Aser, but the gold plating that is on them is prohibited. And then his twin brother asked Manishtana, why is a tree that was planted without intent to worship it and then worshipped is a Malchukas if it's Aser, which reminds us, Rav Shesha says that all Tanaim agree that the plating of a mountain is not like a mountain and is prohibited. Rather, they disagree about a tree which one planted without intending to worship it and eventually worshipped it. The Tanakhama permits it and Rabbi Yossi Galili prohibits it. So after one son asked, Manishtana, the mountains that are worshipped are not Aser, but the gold plating that is on them is prohibited. And then his twin brother asked, Manishtana, why is a tree that was planted without intent to worship it and then worshipped is a Machlokas if it's Aser? His father explained the story of the Exodus until the conquest of Eretz Yisrael and the order by which they destroyed Avodah Zorah and conquered the land, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a sequence of destroying Avodah Zorah in the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Daf Mem Vav, so the similar Daf Mem Vav is a cow, because cows go moo. So here goes. The cow farmer, cow, that must more on daf mem vav, moo. The cow farmer who was permitted to use the stones that fell off the mountain and worshipped as Avodah Zorah to build a pen for his cows, which reminds us, the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan discussed avnei harsh nidalduhu, stones which became detached on their own from a mountain and worshipped. One group prohibited these stones in benefit, and the other group permitted them. This second opinion compares these stones to a worship mountain, which has no tefisas yedei adam, involvement of man's hands, and remains permitted. Although a mountain is attached to the ground, an animal, which also remains permitted when worshipped, proves that even detached items remain permitted if they lack tefisas yedei adam. So the cow farmer who is permitted to use the stones that fall off the mountain and worshipped as avodah zorah to build a pen for his cows did not allow them to be used to build a mizbeach, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asks, if someone bows to a mountain which remains permitted in benefit, avon of malchut mizbeach, can its stones be used for the mizbeach? Do we say, yesh ne'avad b'machubra etzel gavoah, a worshipped item does disqualify something attached to the ground as an offering carbon for the Most High? Although it's mutter bahana, does it still become disqualified as an offering, like a worshipped animal is disqualified as a carbon, despite remaining permitted in benefit? So the cow farmer who is permitted to use the stones that fell off the mountain and worshipped as avodah zorah to build a pen for his cows did not allow them to be used to build a mizbeach, and also stopped his farmhands from using wheat from his field that was worshipped to be brought for menachos, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asked, HaMishtachim Elokamas Chitim Mahu Menachos, if one bows to standing wheat, can it be used for flour offerings since it was physically changed from its former state? All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we have machlokes regarding what the din is of a tree which one planted without intending to worship it and then eventually worshipped it? That's on daf Memhei.
Good. Number two,
which stuff do we learn? Shlosha Batinhen. There are three types of idolatrous houses regarding their nullification laws. That's on Dav? Mem Zayin.
Good. Number three,
which stuff do one is permitted to use a signet ring to stamp a seal where the wax image does not protrude? That's on Dav? Mem Gimel.
Good. Number four,
which stuff do you discuss planting under an asherah tree where the leaves of the tree fall off and fertilize the vegetables below? That's on Dav? Membeis.
Good. Number five,
which daf do you discuss a Yisrael nullifying an Akum's idol? That's on daf Membeis.
Good. Number six,
which daf do you discuss rebuilding a fallen wall shared by an idolatrous building? That's on daf Mem Zayin.
Good. Number seven,
which daf was the question asked, if someone bows to a mountain, avon of mahu mizbeach, can its stones be used for the mizbeach? That's on daf Member.
Good. Number eight,
which stuff do you discuss if it's permitted to use avnei harshin nidaldu, stones which became detached on their own from a mountain, and worship? That's on Dav Member.
Good. Number nine,
which stuff do you, the question of one bows to a palm tree, can its branch be used for the mitzvah of lulav? That's on Dav Mem Zayin.
Good. Number ten,
which stuff do you discuss how Rabban Gamliel could have images of the moon on a tablet? That's on Dav Mem Gimel.
Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.